Perigvav pasik tes yud. This entire section, Rep to Radak pasik tes, page 767. We're up to pasik tes in the Radak. There is no pasik tes. Pasik yud.
That's right.
Pasik yud. I'm sorry. Pasik yud. Lokoyach. Lokoyach. Take from these three individuals. Micheldai tovia umiyes yidaya. Take from them the money, the crowns. Radak 767, Lokoyach Makar Bimbukoim Tsivui, Kumay Holoch Vikorosa. Okay, this is basically it's a command. Okay, the grammar, I'm not sure what he means with the grammar, but it means Lokoyach, I want you to take. And he's using over here the word, this word, Lokoyach Bimkoim, in the place of a Tsivui. Okay, the form of the word, the way it's being used in this context, is a command. Hashem is commanding Zechariah to take from these three people.
It's a command, but it's not in the form of a command. It's in the form of the show of the root.
The root. Okay, so what does that mean? The form of the root. Not sure what that means. Okay, whatever it means. But
the root is lamed kuf ches.
Okay.
Lekoach.
So here
it's. But the tzivui would be kach.
Aha, that's what you mean. Okay, very good. Kach. But instead of saying the word kach, okay, good. I didn't understand that. Excellent. It should really say kach, but instead of saying kach, it says lokoyach. And look, the way the word lokoyach here is used in this pasuk is similar to the word kach. Hashem is commanding Zechariah to take the money, the crowns that have been presented by these three individuals who are returning from the goyla. Lokoyach mekayim makom tzivui k'may holoich v'korosa. Ba'ozne Yerushalayim Lemar, it doesn't say Halech. There it says Halech. Okay, fine, whatever. Me'esa Goyla, Me'esa Boim, Ma'agoyla, Avihem Cheldai. Lech. Doesn't say Lech, yeah. There's Halech. Similar idea. Me'esa Goyla, Me'esa Boim, Michal, Ma'agoyla, Avihem Cheldai, Vitovia, Vigdai, Vyoshev, Haiveu, Kesev, Zavlin, the Dovel, Libidin, Abayis. These individuals have presented funds from the Goyla. They have collected money in the last 70 years. The Jews have struck it rich. They made a lot of money in Bavel. Good morning. And they're coming now over here to go and to present the silver and the gold. And Hashem is saying to Zechariah, take from them the silver and the gold, and you shall craft crowns. On the day that they will arrive, kilo amar lo sheyelech sham b'yoyim hanavuah. This means that Hashem is telling us, according to the Radak, is making this point that this event has not yet occurred. It's not today. Hashem is saying to Zechariah that in a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, whenever it will be, the time will come in the near future when they will arrive. They are not arriving today. And that's why it says here, the repetition, the verbosity, uvasa. That's we mentioned this. We pointed this out when we started 2 days ago with this section. What is the verbosity of uvasa, uvasa twice, uvasa, uvasa beis Yoshia? Because it's implying that they're not coming today. They're going to come at some future point in time, and you should just be prepared. One more time, the words over here in the Radak, bayoim, on the day shetavoy sham, that they will arrive in Yerushalayim. Hashem did not tell Zechariah to go now. Hashem said they're going to come eventually. It may take a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and when they do arrive, that's when you should be prepared to take the money that they bring and put it aside. Further, uvasa beis Yoshia ben Zephaniah, ki beveso hayu ha'achirim, that's where they're going to their destination. V'zeu sha'amar shabo mibavel Yoshia ben Zephaniah im hanis kodim. Now he's saying something which is a little bit confused. One more time, of also base Yoshua ben Zephaniah ki bebeso hayu ha'achirim. That's where they stayed. V'zeu shama asher bom bavel Yoshua ben Zephaniah im hanis kodim. Okay, so he's answering the question that we had yesterday, because later in the pasuk when they do arrive, it seems to indicate that Yoshua is also one of the donors, and here it seems to say that Yoshua is not a donor. Yoshua is the hotel. So it appears he's coming to answer that really Yoshia is also a donor. He's also a resident of Bavel. He's coming to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. However, the other three people are subordinate to him. Yoshia is the one who rents a hotel room, and the other three people are going to stay in his room. Yoshia is part of the team. Yoshio is also traveling from Babel to Yerushalayim together with Chaldai, Yedaya, and Tovia. However, Yoshio is the leader of these three people, of this group, and when they do arrive in Yerushalayim, Yoshio is the one who's going to rent a home or find a place to live, and his other three companions are going to stay by him until they settle down. And that's what it means here in the pasuk. Read the pasuk one more time. Lokoach take meis agulam. Who shall you take from? Four people. Mechaldai, umimeis tovio, umimeis yedaya. Uvasa bayata bayamahu, on you zicharya, on that day, bayamahu, not today. It may be a month from now when this thing will come about. You zicharya shall go, uvasa, you shall go, base Yoshio ben Sefanya, asher bobi bubble. Yoshio ben Sefanya is also one of the people that has traveled, who has traveled together with Chaldai, Tovia, and Yedaya. It's just that he's the one that's going to rent an apartment, and the other three people will be staying with him. So when you go to his house, to his hotel room, you'll meet up with all of the four people. How does the Radak know that this must be the Pshat? Because later, at the end of this section, when it says in Pasuk, when it says later by, we call him Chain, we change his name later on. Which pasuk is that? That is pasuk Yudalit. In pasuk Yudalit, where it says Vo'ataros tiel lechelem uletovia veli daya ulechein ben Sefanya lezikurain behechal Hashem. So since later on in pasuk Yudalit we list all four together as equals, they're all exactly the same. We have a contradiction. I mean, just, we asked this question. We read the pasukim together. 2 days ago or yesterday, we asked this question. We have a contradiction. In Pasuk Yedalit, we have four people. It appears in Pasuk Yedalit, all four people are the same. They're all people who are traveling from Babel to Yerushalayim to present a large donation for the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. In this Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud, it appears there are only three people that are traveling from Babel to Yerushalayim. And the three people, they arrive, their destination is the home of Yoshio ben Sefanya. He appears to be a long-time resident of Yerushalayim. He came here much before, whenever that was, and he's already established, and that's where they're going to stay in his house. But Yoshio ben Sefanya is not one of the people that's coming from Babel now with a large donation. So we have a contradiction, because later we have to clarify, later Yoshio ben Sefanya's name is changed to Chain ben Sefanya. But let's assume they're the same person. We have a contradiction. Are there three people traveling? Or are there four people traveling? We asked this question. We did not have an answer. The Radak now has given us an answer. All four people, indeed, they travel. And the reason why we call him over here Yoshio ben Sefanya as a separate person, because he's the one that, when it comes to Yerushalayim, is the one that sets up shop. He rents a hotel room, and the other three people stay in his room. Now, when Zechariah, that time will come to take the money, to collect the money, he will go to the hotel room that is registered under the name of Yoshio ben Sefanya to meet with him and the other three people that are staying by him. That's how he answers this contradiction. Look one more time at the words of the Radak. Of the Radak here, Uvosa, and on page 767, the Radak Uvosa, base Yoshio ben Sefanya, kibi beisoi, because in his home, the home of Yoshio ben Sefanya, who also has arrived, hoyu ho acherim, that's where the other three were staying. Vizehu sho'omar, asher bohu mi bavel, who came from Babel? All of them came from Babel. Yoshio ben Sefanya, im, together with Hanis Karim, with the other three people mentioned in the pasuk before. So we've learned over here two very important basic pshatim, okay, but no drush yet in the Radak. The Radak is telling us just basic pshatim plus that no one else really explained well. No one else really emphasized, at least not so far. And that is, there are four people that are arriving, and they're not, they have not come today. They're coming in the future. Hashem is telling Zechariah, in the future, this will happen. And when it does happen, you should know what to do. And the four people that are coming, their names over here are Chaldai, and Yedaya, Tovia, Yoshio ben Sefanya, and the leader of the group is Yoshio ben Sefanya, and the other three people are going to be staying by him. When they will arrive, will come and greet them, and take from them the money. Okay, now let's continue.
Can we pray? By the way, the first that you have twice Uvata.
Yeah.
Uvata and Vata. I saw in the Unkelus. So he says, First one, you should, what do you say? Vetete. The second, say all. So that you come to the house, but you cannot enter the house unless you get permission.
Aha.
And then you go in. It reminds Excellent. Me by Yosef. When the brothers came, after the story with the Gavia, when they came the second time, so Yosef, they didn't enter. Aha, then it says, oh, let them go inside.
Excellent, okay.
So there is a purpose. First, you just come to the house and you don't enter. You enter when there is a purpose. In this case, gam uvata tikanes velakachta, and then you do whatever you were commanded to do.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You see
the two stages in the uvata.
Two stages. First you arrive and then you enter. Fantastic. First you will arrive and then you will enter. To the word over here.
Inside the automation, I mean, we're talking about big house or whatever.
Excellent. There are two different stages. First arrive and then enter. And maybe that explains why there's a change in the Milel Milera. The first word is Uvasa, and the second is Uvasa. So I thought it has to do with past and present, future, which it does sometimes. Here, the Targum obviously is picking up upon this. The first time it's saying you will arrive, and the second time Uvasa you will enter, which fits into the past, because Uvasa means you will have arrived, to arrive, which means you will arrive at their home. And then the future Uvasa appears to be the future you will now enter. I'm not sure that's correct. All right, but any event, let's go further. Let's move ahead into the next Radak. Pasuk Yud Aleph. In Pasuk Yud Aleph in Radak V'lokachta, you will take, Tikach mehem ha-kesef ha-zav she-hevi b'yodam l'nodav, you'll take the money, V'yosisa at-toros, it will make crowns. Tase mehem shtayim at-toros, two crowns, V'sosim ho-achas b'roish Yoshua l'manoisa l'koin gadol. You will take one crown and put it on the head of Yoshua l'koin gadol. V'tosim ho-achas k'moshin v'zeo shnema hat-sonif ha-tohar, which is, obviously he understands word sonif, which I always thought meant a garment. Here he says it means the crown. Shahi masimin al roishoi banavua, k'moshin omar l'mala, v'atora ha-cheres lo ho-yitzoch l'haskim ha-yaseba, it's not necessary, ki yadua ki b'roish rubovel tiyeh, it goes on the head of Zerubbabel, ki hu ho-yibarok ha-melech, v'yen melech b'lo ya-torah. Now, okay, before we read further, take note that the Radak is strongly disagreeing with everything that we learned until now. Until now, we learned that the Melech, he does not get the crown. Everyone agreed so far that the Melech, there is no crown for the Melech. The crown of gold is not going to be put on his head because he is not a Melech. Zerubbabel is not a real king. Zerubbabel, there is no Shemin HaMishcha. The Melech does not have authority because they're under the control, the authority of who? Of the Persians at this point in time.
So he's more like a governor at this point.
Correct. He's just a governor. Governor, whatever you want to call him. You can probably have a lot of different terms for whatever you want to call him, but yeah, let's use that word, governor. He's not a real king. A real king, by definition, is a person that no one can say to tell him otherwise. We all know this is the big old question. What are the qualities that a person needs to, for him to be eligible to be, for others to make a bracha, shenosan michvaydoy lebosar v'dam. I've given from Hashem has given from his honor. There's a bracha you make when a person sees a head of state. You make a bracha b'shem u'malchus. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam shenosan michvaydoy lebosar v'dam. Hashem has granted from his honor to a human being. What are the criteria that are necessary in order to make that bracha? Can you make the bracha upon seeing the President of the United States? This is an age-old debate. It used to be people did make a bracha on the President of the United States. Today, there's a debate. Not everyone's willing to make the bracha. What's one of the major issues? In order to be a king, you must have the authority of life and death. You can decide who lives, who dies. Does the President of the United States, does he have the ability to get up and say, This is my command that this person should be executed. Seemingly not. But the President of the United States can give an executive order to send an army to go fight a battle, put a person in harm's way where he will very likely get killed. That he can do. He can give executive orders.
Pardon someone from execution.
Oh, so he can save a person. What's that called? He can
commute.
Commute a person so that he can save a person's life. Does that qualify? Is that significant enough to know that you can make the bracha? Some say yes, it is. Some say no. It's not enough to save a person, to commute a sentence of execution. It's necessary that he should have the ability to execute a person. And the President of the United States does not appear that he has that power to do so on his own, just on the spur of the moment. He can't do that.
Rabbi, come on. Before you use the term governor, that the governor does not have a complete power like a melech. But if you look, Elifadolos, New York, Governor Cuomo is saying things nobody could go against him. He does have pretty much authority on everything.
So that's the question. The question.
He's a king, but he's not a king.
That's the question.
I think he's the king, yeah.
That's the question, the Rishon. What is necessary? And this is not something which is so clear. Okay, there are other different issues as what qualities a person needs to malchus. Some say that if you look in the Rishon, there's some fascinating interpretations. Some say that the malchus demands a whole set of rules. The melech must wear special clothing. Do the heads of state today wear special clothing? No. President of the United States wears the same suit, wears the same type of clothing that any other person wears. The some hold that the Malchus demands, the rules of Malchus, that they speak a unique language, a special language that no one else speaks. Is there such a thing in Yadus that a Melech speaks a certain language? I'm not familiar that David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, they spoke a special language and no one else, the royal language. There are a whole very interesting ideas of what is necessary, constitutes Malchus.
And well, there used to be something called speaking the king's English.
Okay, exactly, the king's English. So that you see there's something to it. Now, what about my Klal Yisrael? My Klal Yisrael, there's no such thing as Lashon HaKodesh. So how could it be that by the Goyim, they have to have a special language where we don't have a special language for the Melech? We never heard that by Klal Yisrael, a Melech has a special language that no one else speaks. By the Goyim, it appears from what it says in different sources that in ancient times there was such a principle that there was a unique language that was only spoken by the royals. And the common man does not speak that, he's not allowed to. It's reserved. It's a reserved language for the aristocrats, not for the common man, only for the royal family. How could that be? By Klal Yisrael, we've never ever heard, not that I'm aware of, that by Klal Yisrael, by the family of David HaMelech, they had a special language that the common man did not have. So are we to say that amongst the Goyim, there's a certain Mila, there's a unique concept that they have a special language? It's a very hard thing.
A certain formality, a certain formal
dialect
way of speaking, perhaps. Not
a way of speaking?
A completely different language.
Do we have that by Klal Yisrael, such a thing? That by Malchus, by the royal family of David HaMelech, there's the way of speaking that the common man does not? I don't know. Kol b'nei Yisrael b'nei melachim heim. I don't know. Maybe in a Hanami, maybe the whole Lashon HaKodesh, in essence, is a language of Malchus. And by Klal Yisrael, every single Jew is a Melech. Maybe there is something to that. Everyone, Klal Yisrael, is a Ben Melech to a degree, and that's Lashon HaKodesh. So by the Goyim, they don't have that concept, but at least in order for them to be called kings, the royal family, they have to have something unique. Okay, these are all issues, but there's one issue which really is essential, and this many places can talk about this. And they say there has to be something called in society called kvod malchus, honor, respect for the malchus. In America, can you say there's something called kvod malchus? If you turn on the radio, and listen to what people say, the nivel peh that comes out of people's mouths in this country about the president and about anyone, it's not to be believed. It's not to go back to ancient times. A person would say even one-hundredth, one-thousandth of what someone says today, they would be executed on the spot.
Totalitarian society today. Say something in North Korea or in China.
So we live in a democracy. It's a democracy that allows for this. So there's Rabbi Reisman, he made an impression on me. He said this, it was before my time, but he said that, you know, there's all of these issues of the power of life and death, the power, you know, all these things, you know, we can be very lenient. The minhag olam in America was to make a bracha on the president. We were very, very lenient regarding what the criteria are of killing, of to commute a sentence, of life and death, provided that there was kevoid malchus. And he said that until Nixon, in this country, by Gedolei Yisrael, they appreciated in this country there was kevoid malchus. Nixon, with the whole scandal, it changed America. The scandal diminished in the eyes of many. Like a molech. A molech jumps into the pot, the boiling pot. He got burnt and he cooled off. He cooled off everyone, the bathtub. The Kvoid Malchus was severely diminished with what happened to Nixon. And since then, so Mr. Reisman said this, since then, the Gedolei Yisrael, who were very willing to overlook all of the requirements of all of the chesroinos of democracy that take away our ability to treat it as a malchus, to make a bracha b'shem malchus, because the truth is, the President of the United States is so powerful. It's not to be believed. If you can't make a bracha on him, then who could you make a bracha on, right? Who can you make a bracha on? You can't make a bracha on the President of the United States. You're going to tell me you can't go execute a person on the spot? Don't worry, he can if he really wants. He'll find a way if he really wants. Okay? Yeah, they have secret ops. They have all of these. All of the Gedolim were very, very willing to overlook all of the deficiencies in democracy and make a bracha b'shem malchus on the President of the United States, provided there is the most basic element of malchus called kivoid malchus. Baruch Shem kivoid malchus olam v'ed. But something terrible happened in America. Something horrible happened. And that is, the kivoid malchus was just destroyed. With Nixon and the scandal, it's not necessarily what Nixon did. It's the way.
With all due respect to Rabbi Reisman, I think it might have started a little earlier. Okay, could be.
It was the Makeh B'Patish. The Makeh B'Patish. So this is why you find today many people will not make. They'll meet the President of the United States, and they're not going to make the Bracha Hashem Malchus. I know that I told you this already a few times at the OU. This goes back about 15 years ago. I know someone personally who was part of the OU's delegation to meet with Bush W in the Oval Office. There were about 15 people who went into the Oval Office to meet with President Bush about for an hour. And before all Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, people that you know, and they all asked the Shaila, should we make the bracha b'shem u'malchus? And there was a very big debate in the OU among the Rabbanim in the OU, among all the, you know, the Vada, all the Rabbanim, what to do. And the final conclusion then, this is 15 years ago, everything changes from day to day, but then the psak halacha, he told me, was not. They should make the bracha without shem umalchus. That was the psak halacha. For them, at that time. And Bush W was very dignified compared to what came after, Hamevin Yavin. But yet I've heard today, since then, other stories where people went to meet with the President of the United States and they were told to make a bracha. So obviously, yesh v'yesh. There are different opinions on this matter. It's not as that. Now, why am I telling you all of this? It's because over here, I believe that this concept is really part of the core of the machloikis between the Radak and what we learned in the Mitzudot Stavit. The Mitzudot Stavit and Rashi as well basically said that there is no crown for the Malchus. Zerubbabel is a puppet king, a governor, a mayor, call him what you wish. He's not a king. Because he has no authority. Zerubbabel, the authority was Koresh. The authority was the Malchus. Well, Koresh is long gone. Daryavish Aparsi. He's the one that's now giving permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. There is the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael have very, very little authority. They are just puppets. They are just acting with permission of Persia. And that's why on the gate leading into the Beis HaMikdash was called the Shar Shushan HaBira. Because they, when they walked into the Beis HaMikdash, they bowed in acknowledgement that this is all with the Rishus of the Persian God. Can you imagine you go to Eretz Yisrael and you walk into the Knesset, and what do you see there? The American flag, not the Israeli flag. Can you imagine? Because this whole country is all with the Rishus of America. Well, it was even as well. And today, it's not so. You walk into the Knesset, there's the Israeli flag, and not the American flag. But in the Beis HaMikdash, it was the American flag, not the American flag, but the Persian flag, and no Israeli flag. Why? Because know who the boss is. So does that mean that Zerubbabel is a melech? Where you can make on Zerubbabel the bracha Shenosan Bichvoidei Bosa V'dam? Could you make a bracha on Zerubbabel if you were living in those times? Could you make a bracha on Zerubbabel Shenosa Mechvoidei Lebosa V'dam? Does he qualify as a king when the one that every move he makes is going to be scrutinized by the Persian government? And Lamai Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, does he get a crown? Do you put the crown of gold on his head? The Mitzudois and Rashi said, no, he doesn't get a crown. He's not a melech. He's not a melech. Don't make a bracha on him. He has no authority. He's just a puppet. The Radak disagrees. First, we'll take a step back. How does Rashi and the Mitzudas know that he's not a melech? Because it says here, I take money from the goyim, those who made Aliyah LeRegel, and make crowns. One crown, the silver crown, put upon the head of the Kohen Gadol. And there is absolutely no mention of what you do with the gold crown. It's not mentioned at all what happens to the gold crown. Why not? Because the gold crown was not put on the head of Zerubbabel. Because if Daryavish HaModi, a Parsi, would find out that Zerubbabel is wearing a gold crown, you know what that would be interpreted as? Treason. Murray B'Malchus. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? I give you permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You think you're a king? You wear a gold crown? What's going on over here? You're nothing. I'm in charge of this world. What are you wearing a gold crown for? There's no mention in the pasuk that Zerubbabel put a gold crown on his head, because he did not. Because it's not the time. What did they do with the gold crown? They put it away for safekeeping. Maybe we will merit, Mashiach will come, the world will change, and indeed we will have a real melech, and then we'll put the gold crown on his head. And according to Rashi, not only did they not put the gold crown on his head, they couldn't even put the silver crown on the head of the Kohen Gadol either. But the Pasuk says they did. I'm not so sure what that means. You have to go back and we'll see again what it means. But yet, we're learning over here something that is shocking. According to the Radak, you know why it doesn't mention that the gold crown was put on the head of Zerubbabel? It's because it's so simplistic. Of course, what else do they do with it? Of course they put the gold crown on his head. It's Pashut. He totally disagrees. Zerubbabel is good enough. If Trump is good enough to make a bracha, so Zerubbabel is certainly good enough to wear a gold crown. Why didn't it bother with
them in the first place? And that's one point. And also, wasn't Zerubbabel considered a candidate for Mashiach?
Yeah, we learned that. We learned that at least in the Malbim. There were three candidates. First, it was Yoshiah, Tzidkiah, and then Zerubbabel.
Yeah. But Zerubbabel in particular.
But he didn't make it, right? Why did he make it? Because we didn't want him. Because we, the people, the Hamoinam, were just not interested in bringing Mashiach. They were too comfortable living their lives in Bavel. They were not with the program. And that's why he did not turn into Mashiach. He was a candidate to be Mashiach. But he did not make it. But his candidacy did not go forward. Because we did not want his candidacy to go forward. Okay, this is what he told. He always tells me this. I love this part from Rav Kallis, who's in, I don't know who he is now. He's in, back in Lakewood. But he hasn't come to the shir lately. And he always told from Rav Simcha Wasserman. They ask Rav Simcha Wasserman, what about the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Is he Mashiach? Is he Mashiach? The Lubavitcher is Mashiach. That was, I know, during the height of all this controversy. So Rav Simcha Wasserman said, I don't know if he's, I don't know, but one thing I can tell you, he's a candidate. He's a good candidate. Will he be Mashiach? Will he be, I don't know, that remains to be seen. But I have respect for him as being a candidate. Most people I know are not candidates to be Melech HaMashiach. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe, yeah, if not him, then who? He's a candidate. Maybe there are other people in Klal Yisrael that are candidates to be the Melech HaMashiach. Who will be? How Levi, we should elect someone to be the Levi. I'm not assuming we're going to use the Dominion voting machines to make the decision. but we have to if we want, then we have to take the best that we got. So here Zerubbabel was the best that we got, but the question was he in essence a king? And here you see between the lines of the Radak and the other Mefarshim, an amazing machlokes of what status he really had. The Radak says, of course he was the king. It says here, make a crown for him. Oh, you're going to tell me how come it does not say put the crown on his head? Of course, it's super simplistic. It's not necessary to for the pasuk to mention the obvious. Okay, well, according to Rashi and the Radak, it's not so obvious because they indeed explicitly said that they did not get the crown on his head. Let's read those words again. One crown goes on the head of the Kohen Gadol, this is the version of the pasuk. Like I said before. And what about the crown that goes to Melech HaMashiach, the gold crown? It's not necessary. Why not? Ki yodua. It's simplistic. It's known. Ki beroish Zerubbabel tiye. Ki hu hoya bimkoy melech. It's interesting. He doesn't say he was a melech. He doesn't go so far to say that he was a melech, the Radak. But he was bimkoim melech. The ain melech. Beloy Atarah. Now he says something different. The Efshar, okay, now he's deviating from what he just said. The Efshar, possibly. Ki koidem shesamu ho Atarah beroisha nikra pecha. A governor, as Shemachol said. He was called a governor. Kemoisha kosov, pachas Yehuda. The pachas of Yehuda, the governor of Yehuda. The achar shesamu ho Atarah beroisha kira'u melech. They called him a melech. Even though there is no record, it does not say anywhere, any pasuk that actually calls Zerubbabel a melech. Search Tanakh. Where are you going to find it? You find it in Divrei Hayamim. The only place that this can possibly be mentioned would be in Divrei Hayamim and in Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi, these last three Nevi'im. And in Divrei Hayamim, I don't think there's any other place where there's even a possibility that the book was written at a time when they can call him Melech. And if you study these four books, you are not going to find any reference to calling Zerubbabel a Melech. Yitochein, it's possible that Miderech Hasvara Loimarkein, it's logical that he was referred to as a king. V'yosis, now we go further, V'yosisa, Leben Naftali Milara Hashoifar Batov Uleben Osher Mileel Hashoifar Ba Sin. Okay, now he's saying over something very interesting. He's touching upon the two traditions. This is very good stuff, but not for now. I don't really know much about this. The Ben Naftal, the two different Mesoros as to the text of the Torah and the spelling Mileel Milara the time. There are a lot of different. Our Messiah, the tradition, as exactly the way every single letter is spelled, and the correct pronunciation, the vowels, the invisible vowels of every single letter, there are two traditions. there is the tradition called the Ben Naphtali and a tradition called the Ben Osher. Today, we only use the Ben Osher. The Ben Osher has prevailed. However, every so often we come across a record of the Ben Naphtali, which differs. Here we have the word, in this Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'osisa. Okay, V'osisa. Is it V'osisa or is it V'osisa? The Tamei HaMikra is a munach esnachta. Where does the munach appear? Under the shin, the sin of the sin, okay, v'os the sin, or under the suf? Is it, if it, it appears under the suf, that's the last syllable. There's v'osisa. There are four syllables in this word. V'osisa. The last syllable is sa. V'osisa. Or does it appear mila el, which means the second to last syllable? Ve'osisa. So he cites over here a disagreement between the tradition of the Ben Naphtali and the Ben Osher. Ve'osisa, le'ben Naphtali milara. The way it should be pronounced is ve'osisa, the last syllable.
Because it's in the future.
Ha'shoifar batov. The shofar, now the word shofar is a term the Radak uses to refer to the emphasis.
Okay.
The shofar is a mapach. Okay, but we see here we don't have a mapach. Here we have
of
a
the
munach.
Of the
it's a munach. Here we have a munach. Hashofar batov.
What? Because of its L shape, maybe that's why.
Okay. The tam, the tamei hamikra. So we'll call it over here the tamei hamikra. Under the tov, which he really means over the sof. Okay, we have a sof. The havar v'osisa. Uleben osher, but according to the tradition of Ben Osher, which is our tradition, everything today that we do is according to Ben Osher. Mila el, it's the second to last syllable, and hashoifar, the ta'ameh hamikra, which he's calling here, which we're calling a munach. And it seems he's calling here called a shofar, which I'm not sure what he means by that, because maybe he had a different tradition as to what should be the Tamei HaMikra. It is basin uchemohu anu koreim, and that's the way we do it. The Radak over here is coming to give his haskama. He's giving his opinion that the correct pronunciation. This is what our tradition is to follow Ben Osher. Look at the Mincha Shai. If you have the Mincha Shai, okay, if you have the art scroll they have here on the bottom, the Mincha Shai, this is up his alley all the time. He writes, V'osisa, le'ben aftoli milara, ha-shoifar b'tov, le'ben osher mil'el ha-shoifar b'sin. V'chamon u'kardim, radak u'perish u'michlol daf sign. Okay, so these are malakit. The Mincha Shai is often, it came much later, and the Mincha Shai collects, from different commentators, what they said, and we over here have the advantage that we actually have it on the page. So the Mincha Shai says basically is on the page word for word, and there's more called Sefer Michlol, the Radak or the Sefer. All the rules of grammar pretty much come from this Sefer. The Sefer Michlol, okay, that's the name of the Sefer that the Radak wrote, and that Sefer has all the rules of grammar the way we follow them today. And there there are a lot of other things there in that Sefer, and in the Soira, the Ben Osher, and that's what we have over here. Next.
If you look at the Trop in Sfaradi Chumash, you have the Trop all have different names. They has a whole, my Pach Pashto, they have different names, and one of them is Shofar.
It's a Munach.
I forgot which one it takes the place of. But they call the Trop
different.
It's not universal, right. The Trop. The names.
The way we call it, we call this a munach. And munach is a very complex, because there are many munachs. There's a munach revi'i. There's a munach of a mercha tibcha, munach esnachta. Then there's a munach that stands by itself, that's none of the above. Then there's a munach revi'i. There are different types of munachs, and each munach has a unique melody they're all very different. Each munach, depending on how it's used, the munach munach revi'i, the first munach is done one way, and the second is pretty much the munach revi'i.
The munach before my pach, and the munach before a zokeif gadol, I mean zokeif katon.
Right, there's a munach katon.
Right.
Ma pach, pashta munach, zokeif katon. There are multiple, there may be four or five of them. And each of these munachs has a different melody. A different melody, different musical notes, how it's pronounced, so it's not so simple. Okay, as a simile over here, the Radak over here is referring to the munach with the word a shofar. Let's go further. Umi tachtov, umi, now we go pasuk yudbeis, v'yamarto, hine ish semach shemo, the man's name is Tzemach. And we learned until now in the Radak and the Mitzudos that this pasuk is there's a disagreement, referring to the Melech HaMashiach, or are referring to Zerubbabel of the current time. Kolaymar, hine ish amcha imcha sheyeh roish yishol v'hu Zerubbabel, v'yikorei Tzemach. The man that is with you, that will be the head of Klal Yishol, his name is Zerubbabel. His real name is Tzemach, v'yikorei, or he shall be called. Give him a change of name. Change his name to Tzemach. Ki ma'alosoi tiyeh k'mo Tzemach o'adama, sheyigdal me'at me'at. Rashi said the same thing. The symbolism of Tzemach is little by little. Mashiach, like we discussed yesterday, who says Mashiach is going to come in an instant? Mashiach, the people who really know this stuff will all tell you Mashiach is a process. It's an unfolding process leading to tikkun olam, the world to achieve its perfection. And just like a something that you plant in the ground, you don't expect to come the next day and to find a tree. It's a long process, a painful process. Has to be nurtured, has to be protected, has to receive enough sunlight and water and protected from rodents and things like that. It's a long process called a tzemach. Mashiach is called a tzemach. Ma'at ma'at kein ma'losa ta'ale ma'at ma'at ad she'tigdal mo'od until it become very great. K'moish nisnabei olav chagai. By chagai, we learned this, ve'evohunu ma'ashem tzvokas eko chachol zerubbabel, I'll take you zerubbabel. Okay, mitachtov yitzmoch. And from his descendants it will sprout forth. So here we have a new interpretation. According to all of the other commentators that we learned so far, the word umitachtov meant his descendants. He will have children, and they will have children, and they will have children. And the day will come when one of his descendants will become the Melech HaMashiach. He does not say that. He learns umitachtov means from his location. Location from the place is his base, his physical location of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. O mitachtov yitzmach mimukom kolama mi'amakom shushav hu Yerushalayim misham tovo Elohim Allah. That's where he will rise. He will rise to prominence in the walls of Yerushalayim. The Yoinasam Tirgim Chogavra Meshicha Shemei. His name, the Gavra, is Meshicha Shemei Tzemach. The Targum translates the word Tzemach as Mashiach. Osid the Yiskelei, he will become great. The Yisrabei, different expressions of becoming great and mighty. The Yivnei Yas, Heichlo, the Hashem, and he will build the Heichel Hashem. Okay, so he learns the word Umitachtov Yitzmoch. Umitachtov Yitzmoch, Gav Mashiach Shmei, Osid the Yiskelei, the Yisrabei, the Yivnei Yas. It's not really clear how you translate the word Mitachtov. From himself, it seems like he, none of the above. It doesn't seem that the Targum is translating the word Mitachtov to mean his descendants, and it does not seem that he's translating like the Radak to be from Yerushalayim. It means that from within himself, Umitachtov means from his own standing, his own greatness, his own attributes, will allow him to develop and to become great and to build the Beis HaMikdash. So I think we take away really three interpretations, translations of the word Mitachtov. We take away new things from this pasuk. Let's go further. The pasuk, Yud Gimel Hu Yivneh, Yud Gimel, he will build. Kefal in Lechazek. Pasuk, Yud Gimel, the Radak of Yer is telling us, don't get worked up on the repetition, the verbosity. It's just poetic. To strengthen the idea, v'hu yisa v'hu yisa hoid v'hoid v'hoid v'hadar malchus yisa targmenus v'hu yitol al kisoy k'mamelcha yesh v'al kisoy moshel ba'aretz v'ha yekoyin al kisoy k'loyma Lifnei chiso. Now, this was the difficulty that we touched upon already 2 days. V'hoyo chohen al kisoi. The Mitzudai said that the Kohen does not sit on a throne. No such thing. There's no such thing as giving a Kohen the throne. We discussed the whole idea. Leadership. Are there two channels of leadership, or is there only one leader? Ein shnei melachim meshamshim bekeser echad. We discussed that. So we tried to make that principle of machloikis between Rashi and the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas says no such thing. There's only one king. And thus, when it says v'yichoyim al kisoi, the subject of the word kisoi is the kisei of malchus. And when it says the Kohen, means the Kohen is going to stand as a subordinate. Al means near or under, as a underling, not as an equal. Rashi disagreed. Rashi said the subject of the word kisoi is the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol does have his own throne. Whether it means physically or symbolically, he has his own powers, his own line of authority. And the next pasuk, the pasuk then goes on to say, and it's not going to be competition. We need not worry that two kings operating at the same time, two authorities, are going to have conflict, because they love each other and they're going to want to resolve all of the problems. Okay, so, you know,
separation of synagogue and state.
It's all a matter of attitude. I told someone yesterday, we were still discussing yesterday, the Haftorah from this past week Shabbos. And I said to him, I don't understand. Shlomo HaMelech's generation was a generation of Mashiach. It was the closest thing we had in this world to Mashiach. Ish tachas gafnei, tachas teinosai, HaMelech shashalom shaloi, Yedidya, Yedid Hashem. All of these Amari Chazal would seem to indicate that it was the best time in the world. The world was at peace in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. How then could it be that the day that Shlomo HaMelech became the Melech, a woman comes into court who's willing to commit two of the Aseres Adibros, kidnapping and murder? She stole a baby, a human being. Okay, that's serious stuff. You steal a human being, let's say Tignoif, don't kidnap. And then when she hears, oh, the king's going to kill him, going to slice him into two. Yeah, do, excellent, kill him. How could that be? And what do I mean by that? If you want to know where a generation is holding in Ruchnius, let's say you want to put your finger on the pulse. What kind of generation are we living in today? Let's say you really want to know. So some people will tell, if you want to know the generation that we're living in, open up a newspaper. Open up a newspaper and just browse through the newspaper. You'll get a feeling of the type of generation we're living in. And I tell you, fake news. The newspaper you can throw on the ground, it doesn't mean anything. If you really want to know what kind of generation we're living in today, I'll tell you another idea. I'll give you another idea. Sit a whole day in a chapel, and listen to the Hespedim. Listen, just sit there a whole day. Today you don't have to leave, just go online. Okay, all the chapels have webcams. You can watch Leviathan the whole day. If nothing better to do, you can just sit and watch Leviathan the whole day. Listen, it's just very interesting. Listen to Hespedim. You'll get a flavor of what kind of generation we're living in today by hearing Hespedim of people who have just died. Okay, so either newspaper, Hespedim. There may be other things you can suggest, but I'll tell you the best, the real way. If you really want to get your finger on the pulse, go to a Besdin and sit in the Besdin the whole day and watch. They're not going to let you do this, of course, they'll throw you out, but watch the Dinei Torah that take place the whole day. You know, in the courts, it's a public place, right? If I'm not mistaken, anyone can come and listen to court cases. You go to Beis Din. There are many Bati Dinim in Klal Yisrael today. It's a big business. It's a very big business. People make parnasa, the Dayanim, Toyanim, and you can sit and listen to the Dinei Torah. That will tell you for real where we're holding in this generation. If you go to a Beis Din, and the whole day people are cursing each other and they're at each other's throats, and everyone wants to take, we're in a lot of trouble. And of course, there are different types of situations. The Chazal say that in the times of Mashiach, you know what the Bata Dinim are all about? Go to court, two people come to a dayan, and one dayan, the guy says to the dayan, I bought something, and I underpaid. The product is so good, I underpaid. I want to give the Baal HaBos another $100. And the Baal HaBos says, no, I don't want to take it. Just the opposite. He overpaid. I want to give him a refund of $100. And they're fighting in court. Two people are coming to court. I have money that doesn't belong to me. I want to give it to you. I want to give it back to you. And the other one says, no, I don't want to take it. It's yours. But it's money. MS. We have to go to a Din Torah. Wow. That says it all. Now, obviously...
Well, Rabbi, you remind me what happened years ago. My uncle, Sean, who came from the Holocaust to survive, lost a wife and five children. And then he remarried, and they had, I think, seven more children afterwards. So he said, what the problem is in America? He says, take a newspaper, an obituary, and look... And look at the look what you see. You'll see Mr. Goldberg died, Mr. Wise died, and who's sitting Shiva? One child, one daughter. And this is the problem. He says there's no yin. There's no yin. This is where it is. That's what he was. I remember he used to say that.
Yeah. Okay, that's a different yeah. Approach. But if you go to a Bezdin, to get your finger on the pulse, where we're holding. I personally, that's the ultimate. And even though today that's ridiculous, you're not going to go to a Bezdin, that's never going to, but this story that I just told you will almost never happen. But the degree in a Bezdin, my father was a dayan. My father used to do case for the RCA. And I would get to hear, bits and pieces of what goes on in the Bezdin. And like, in the Goyish, there are different degrees of intensity, of hatred and demands of what goes on, and that really speaks volumes about where we're holding in the generation of the mindset of people of what they demand and what they expect. So I don't have an answer to this question. I asked this question to someone yesterday. I said to him, I don't understand. Shlomo HaMelech, this was the era of a time where Chazal and the Pesukim make it clear. Ish tachas gafne tachas te'enosai lohoya kesef shove l'chlum. They paved the streets with gold. Whatever, it says something similar to that. How could it be? The first day on the job as melech, a woman comes into court and the din Torah involves a woman who's willing to kidnap and to murder? How could how could there be such a person in Klal Yisrael? And this, so you'll say it's not Shlomo, it was the beginning. So David HaMelech was the Melech. It's the tail end of David. David now has just passed away and Shlomo takes over. We're in between David and Shlomo. How could this be? How could there be such a thing like this in Klal Yisrael? Okay, he didn't have an answer for me. So, but here we have, here in this pasuk, according to going back to what Rashi said yesterday, Rashi said, we have two lines of authority. There's a kisei of malchus, a kisei of kohuna. And Rashi was mechadesh that when it says this, one of the most difficult pesukim we've come across recently, v'hoya kohen al kisoi. What? The kohen is the melech? Well, you want to tell me that this is a nevuah for the chashmonoim? Maybe it is. Maybe this is a remez for the time of the chashmonoim. Maybe this is a remez for Chanukah. This. The era of the Chashmonim, the tail end of the Bayis Sheni, where the Chashmonim, who were Koyhanim, they taka sat on the Kisei Malchus. No one here so far said that over here, but according to Rashi, we're referring over here to the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, where the Chashmonim did not exist yet, and we're saying there's going to be, Rashi said, there's going to be two lines of Malchus. A Malchus of Kohuna, a Malchus, and an authority of Kohuna, called Yosef Al-Kiso, and authority of Malchus. The Mitzudo says, no way, no way, does not work like that. And when it says, Voyechon al Kiso, the word Kiso refers to the Melech, and the Kohen means al is to be interpreted near or a subordinate, an underling to the Melech. So we have a major machlokes. And what does the Radak say? The Radak says, al kiso, he's supporting the opinion of Rashi. Rashi, al kimoy hamelech, that is going to be an authority in Klal Yisrael of Kohuna similar to an authority of Malchus. Kimoy hamelech, hayosh val kiso, moshel baretz. Voya kohen al kiso, kiloymar, lifnei chiso, So here you see, now he's backtracking. He's really contradicting himself. First he says, al kiso, kumo hamelech hayoshev al kiso, v'chon al kiso, and maybe not. Okay, let's focus on the second, this thing that he says in these second lines, like the mitzudos, that he's not a melech. He's just an underling. To instruct him, okay, he makes it clear as day, like the Mitzudos. Who's the boss here? Whoever's the boss, who goes to who? Does the Kohen go to the Melech, or does the Melech go to the Kohen? The only time, that's very interesting, the only time indeed that a melech shows up at the office of the Kohen Gadol is when the melech is shoyel in the Urim V'tumim. Otherwise, he never comes. Otherwise, it's always the Kohen who goes to the melech. That's amazing. Look here, what the Radak says. It's an explosive. This is explosive, what the Radak says. Radak, what you're saying is when it says in the Pasuk that it means, Melech, humble yourself. You are going to go to the Kohen to ask the question. We never appreciate that. You read the Pasuk, yes, so we have the Urim V'tumim, and you have a question. Should you take the vaccine? Should you not take the vaccine? So you go ask the Urim V'tumim, right? So the Melech goes to the Urim V'tumim. So if you read the Pasuk, you read the Pasuk at face value, oh, the Melech has a shaila. Should we take the vaccine? Should we not take the vaccine? So what better shaila should you ask from the Urim V'tumim than this? No one knows. It's an experimental drug. It's never been used before. They never used this. It hasn't been around more than 2-3 months. No one really knows long term. There have been no animal trials. It's an experimental drug. Is it good or not? This is a perfect shaila to ask the Urim V'tumim. So the pasuk says, "V'lefnei Elazar HaKohen." So what does that mean? Elazar the Kohen shows up to the house of the Melech, wearing the big day shemayna, and he has the choshen, and the choshen is the Urim V'tumim. And the Melech asks the question, and the stones light up, the letters of the stones light up, telling you yes or no, yes or no. But the Radak is saying no. There's much more to be understood in this pasuk. You have to understand Malchus. The Melech doesn't go to anybody. The Melech, you go to the Melech. The Melech doesn't come to you. That's not the way Malchus works. Kvod Malchus, you go to the Melech. This is the only exception of where the Melech picks himself up, and he goes to the Kohen Gadol. That's part of the process of being Shoyel in the Urim V'tumim. It's the only exception to the Melech diminishing his kavod, because here you come in to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But otherwise, whenever the Kohen Gadol has to speak to the Melech and tell him something important, it's the Kohen Gadol who goes to the Melech. How do you know that? Radak says this pasuk, V'hoya Kohen al kiso. There's only one throne. Malchus has a throne. Kohuna does not have a throne. And it says, V'yachoin, the Kohen will go al to the Kisei, to the Melech, to instruct him and to teach him and to guide him. Like the Mitzudos David, not like Rashi, who learned that there are two equal, parallel channels of authority in Klal Yisrael. Okay, next, let's finish up. Next page. V'atzah shalom tiyev bein shneihem. And there's going to be peace between the melech, and the Kohen Gadol. Ki lo yikane ze u'shneihem yaskimu ke'echad ba'asher yasu. Now, according to the Radak, big deal. Because the one that's in charge is the melech, right? The one that's in charge. These words are not so much of a chiddush according to the Mitzudos and the Radak as they are according to Rashi. According to the Mitzudos and the Radak, there's only one person in charge, the melech. So if the Kohen Gadol wants to know what's good for him, if he wants to have a good life, doesn't want to get into trouble, he better behave himself and be on good terms with the melech. So it says, that's right, he'll behave, and the melech will respond. But according to Rashi, it's a much bigger chiddush, this pasuk. Because according to Rashi, if there are two equal channels of authority in Klal Yisrael, they're rivals. They're rivals. If they're rivals, that's human nature to hate each other. I don't have to give you examples of all the different groups in Klal Yisrael where they're split into two because of Machloikis, and each has their own Malchus. And we don't find today in human nature that the two groups are very close with each other. They don't. You can't say atzah shalom tiyeh bein shneihem. You don't see that happening today. It's not human nature. But Hashem, the pasuk is saying that when Mashiach will come, things will be different. Then there will be two channels of authority, and they will have love and peace between them. I know that that's rooted in Ephraim and Menashe. The only time, every time you find such a thing, where you can have two channels of authority and there's no jealousy, it all goes back to Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chimnasha. And that is why every parent blesses his children Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chimnasha. You don't bless them. You should be like Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David, Shlomo, Yosef, Mayor Appledorf. You don't do that. You don't do that. You bless them to be Ephraim u'Menashe. Ephraim, because they're the only ones, there was no rivalry between Ephraim and Menashe. It's so powerful, that principle, that became the bracha for Klal Yisrael. It's shocking. And that's what it says over here. Va'atzah shalom tiyeh bein shneihem. You know what this pasuk means? You have a line of Mal, according to Rashi, Kohuna, and you have Malchus, and they have, each one is equal, and they love each other. Could you imagine Eretz Yisrael? And Eretz Yisrael, it's really what it is today in Eretz Yisrael. You have the Medina Yisrael, the Knesset, the Prime Minister, and the whole slate of officers, all the way down to the last person who works for the Medina. And you have, in the Haredi world, you have Gedolim and Rebbes and this and that. They don't see eye to eye on anything. There's very little common ground between them. And the most you could expect is this, they should be cordial, they shouldn't fight. But to say they love each other, and they work together to achieve a goal? You're kidding? What are you talking about? Chazal saw this 2,000 years ago, and they said, you know, why don't you try to work on this? Yisimcha Elokim ki Ephraim v'chimnashe. Ephraim was the Haredi, and Menashe was the government. He ran the show in Egypt. He ran the show. And that's the bracha. The bracha is not for Avraham Yisrael Yaakov. That's the bracha. And that's what the pasuk here says, that this one day will be achieved by these two branches of Malchus. Pasuk Yudalit.
Let's try to finish. By the way, I go back to this argument. It's so interesting. But yes, the king will sit on his throne. The Kohen Rav, Kohen Gadol, Alku Sohi, also. Umilka de Shlama tehi ben shnehem. Melech HaShalom yeh ben shnehem.
Hashem.
We say Ish v'Isha, the same thing. Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be b'nehem, yeh shalom.
Fascinating. I didn't.
Because they are, Each one has his own job to do whatever it is. Melech Hashalom, ben shneim.
The word Milka means the Melech. The word Atzas means Melech. He translates it Atzas Umilka. Umilka means Malchus. Umilka means a council.
Melech. And he means Dishlama.
Malka, Milka, Atzas Shlom. I don't know Targum. Right? Okay, fascinating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the common. Okay, if we have this really, we should really learn more Targum. We should really spend time on Targum more. Excellent, excellent. Let's try to finish. I want to finish up. I thought we should just finish very quickly. I'm going to run this very quick because I want to spend too much time on this. V'ataros tia pasuk yidal neradak kolachas me'ataros tia lochem lezigul lebeich l'Hashem k'mo yisham b'toyra lezigul lefnei Hashem kolema nidvasem tal lefnei Hashem l'toyv lochem b'zev b'boze uva bo. These crowns, their gifts, will be a zikaron. Okay, so he's saying the zikaron will be tal the nidava tal lefnei Hashem l'toyv lochem b'ze now uva bo in the future. The gift that they give to the Beis Hamikdash will be for them a memorial. It will be a zuchus. The yesh mefarshim lezikaron sheyu nizkarim b'fi hadayrois haboim ki hayu shemaisam kesuvim umifu tochim bohem. So he's saying something a little bit more. It's the same idea, but he's saying it's more explicit. These people, their names are going to be etched into the crown. Okay, maybe this is like a makayf, a matseva. It's a new thing we do today. In the Torah, there's no such thing as writing on a matseva. Where does this come from? On a matseva, you write a person's name. You etch into the stone. In a shul, you have a plaque. Where does this come from? These are new things. But he's saying over here, it's really in the pasuk. He's saying over here, according to the first interpretation, your donation will be a zikaron lefnei Hashem. No one will know about this. After you leave this world, you will be forgotten. No one will ever know you existed. But the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. He knows now, uvabo, and in the future. And that zuchus will be for you and your family, between you and Hashem. And then the Radak says a different pshat. Lezikaroi means people will talk about it. You'll walk into shul, you'll see the name. Okay, the name of the person, it's written on the building. On these crowns, can you imagine? On the crown was etched the name of Chaldai, Tovia, Yedaya, Chain. Their names were etched. And who is this person? Oh, you know who this person is. Oh, let me tell you about him. Lezikaron means literally. That's V'yesh V'farshim Lezikaron Sheyu Niskodim B'fi Ador V'Sabom. They'll articulate their names. They'll read what it says on the Sefer Torah. They'll read what it says. L'cheilem, all of a sudden he gets a name change. Hu Cheldai, he had a makeover. Now that his name is going to be preserved for all generations, we have to change his name to a nicer name. Hu Cheldai, shezoch l'malu shtei shemos hayu lo. He had two names? What, he declared bankruptcy? He had two names? And over here, one name, another name, that's a little bit strange, right? And this sounds like, you know, 21st century. This doesn't sound like, you know, from the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Ulchein, who's chein, who Yoshia, shezochar. Rabbi Samuel Zaldar, shu perishu behech lashem, kishom chusmu hataros, okay, this is a chazal. So he already told us that these crowns, the Radak said, were actually worn upon their heads. On the Kohen Gadols, on the Melech, of course the Melech. What else are you going to do with it? You're not going to wear the crown. Who's in charge? The Melech is in charge. But the Kohen Gadol wore a silver crown also. He had a uniform. And now he says, Chazal, he's coming to Divya from what he said before, Bechel Hashem, Bechel Hashem, Kishom Husmei HaTorah Zach, Acha Shedin B'Rosh HaZruba V'Rosh Yoshua. After they wore it, after it was actually worn, it was put away, like, I guess, like the Queen of England. Does she ever wear the crown? Does the Queen of England ever really wear the crown? Maybe she does some ceremony she wears the crown. I don't even know if she does anymore. Wears the crown. I think when she wears the crown, she wears a fake. If I read correctly, when she actually, during the state ceremony, when she wears the crown, she does not wear the crown that's locked up in the safe. They have a replica with fake diamonds. She doesn't ever actually wear the real crown anymore. So here it says they're going to. ושרשרויס של זכור היו קבועות בתקרס אולם שבוכם פרחי כהונה אולם ורמס והתורוס שבחלוינס. That there were chains hanging from the ceiling in the ulam. Ulam is the antechamber right before the heichal in the Beis HaMikdash. And suspended on these chains were these crowns. And the young kohanim, like a playground, they would climb up, climb all the way up somehow to take a good look at the crown. So it seems maybe after they died, after during the lifetime of Zerubbabel, he wore the crown. During the lifetime of Yehoshua, he wore the crown. And after they died, they took the crowns. And they didn't let their successors wear the crown. I guess it wasn't Bakovedik that their successors should wear their crown. So they made these chains in the ulam, all the way high up, and they suspended these crowns from these chains. And the young kohanim would climb up the walls to see, to look at the crowns. What's the significance of that? Obviously, there's something very deep about that, which is not for now. It will be a praise. It will be an object of praise. He translates the word lezikoroin to mean an object of praise. People will always praise this person. That's why people be like him. No, he'll be a celebrity. Why does he have celebrity status? He gave tzedakah. He gave charity. He gave money. People should emulate him. Just like he went and gave all of this money to build the Beis HaMikdash, a great sacrifice, you should be like him. You should also sacrifice your wealth in order to build institutions, to give money in order to support Hashem's functions. Let's finish up with Chaykim. Yavo, migoy haaretz, as yavo b'eretz ha-rechoyk, live nois b'chal Hashem. Kloimar, Lisnadev Labina Bayis. Over here it's to a fundraising. No one said this. Not Rash, not the Mitzvah Radak over here says that when it says Urukhaikim, we learned according to both of them that it means kibbutz goliyos. People are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. No, Urukhaikim means fundraising. You know the UGA joke. Guy gets lost on a desert island with a friend. And one friend is going out of his mind. We're stuck here in a desert island. I'm gonna die. What's gonna be? The other guy is cool cucumber, not a daiga. So how could you be so calm? I made a pledge to the UJA.
They'll find me.
They'll find me. They'll find me, okay? So they're going to come, the Rechaikim are going to come from all over the world. Babinyan, this was, he's saying over here, a prophecy, that this refers to Hordis. Hordis was he was a slave, really, from the Chashmonaim, and he killed all the Talmidei Chachamim, and Baba Ben Buta, he wanted to do teshuva. Baba Ben Buta advised him, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was in a state of disrepair. Rebuild it. And Chazal say, if you did not see the Beis HaMikdash that Hordis built, you've never seen a beautiful building in your lifetime. And some say, like we learned until now, Rechaikim refers to the Jewish people, like we learned in the Mitzvah. Okay, that was Radak. Tomorrow we'll learn Malbim, take a very short break, and we're going to continue our discussion with Shabbos about a blech, the rules of Shehiyah, Chazara, Magus, Chalant, and
burning
chalon, crackpots, all the rules of preparing food, hot food for Shabbos. When we continue in a few moments, crackpots for crackpots.
Who are you calling a crackpot?
A crackpot for a crackpot.
Yes, Rabbi Levine. Oh, are you going?
Yeah. I'm here. Yeah. Speak. I'm a chol.
I mentioned something I heard yesterday. You know, we're always talking about mishpachas, and we always say